It is a terrible time to try to launch a startup, right? Well, actually, maybe not. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Molly Wood. As everyone hunkers down for what is likely to be a long road ahead in terms of public health and the economy, it seems like this is obviously not a good time to start a business. Venture capitalists are advising startups to hoard cash and prepare for a downturn due to coronavirus. And capital probably won't be flowing as freely as it has over the past few years. But still, some venture capitalists say they're open for business. Michael Seibel leads the Y Combinator Accelerator Program, which works with very new startups to connect them to investors. I asked him if that process looks any different in a recession.
When we look in the past, a number of our most successful startups were actually started either right before, during, or immediately after the 2008 crisis. These are companies like Airbnb, Stripe, Mixpanel, and PagerDuty. And what we see they all have in common is that they're software companies with small teams, and literally all they had to do to get up and running was build their software product, give it to customers, and iterate and make it better. So we believe that companies that look like that right now will have a large advantage in getting some initial users, getting their product out to the world, and be ready for when the economy comes back.
It is nevertheless a risky thing to start a business. You know, we hear about founders living on the couch, maxing out their credit cards, tapping their friends and family. What would you advise a founder?
So I completely agree. Starting a startup is not for everyone. I think sometimes they're actually romanticized a little too much and people don't talk about the low chances of success. And so I don't want to be someone who is romanticizing this life. It's extremely hard. It's extremely stressful. And it has a low percentage chance of success. Right now, my best advice is to make sure that you're working in something that is not capital intensive. If you're building a software startup and you can write code or your co-founders can write code, you probably have the tools you need to get the first version of your product up. And so I think startups that put themselves into that position have a huge advantage right now.
So you sound really confident. Like, are you the only person in America right now who's not that stressed about this?
I mean, I'm certainly stressed about coronavirus. Don't get me wrong. I think that that is a extremely important challenge that everyone from the federal government down to the individual has to step up and take seriously. In terms of the economy, you know, I was a founder during 2008, and certainly it was rough, but startups operate during good economic times and during bad economic times. And I think that like that is a great model for what could happen over the next 4 years.
Michael Seibel leads the Y Combinator Accelerator Program, which helps develop and find investment for early stage startups. According to the National Venture Capital Association, VC funds raised more than $46 billion in 2019 and made $250 billion in returns. It's a healthy business. And now for some related links. Tell you what, we are not going to talk about venture capital and startups without SoftBank showing up in here somewhere. SoftBank and WeWork, in fact. On Tuesday, reports said SoftBank was looking for ways out of having to buy $3 billion worth of WeWork shares as part of a bailout package that was worked out last fall. According to the Wall Street Journal, SoftBank hadn't officially backed out of the deal, but was suggesting that because of regulatory probes into, let's just say, the incredible sketchiness of all things WeWork, it might have an easy out from that bailout contract. Although SoftBank would still go ahead with issuing $5 billion in debt to WeWork. Most notably, though, that stock deal was going to let former WeWork CEO Adam Neumann sell up to $970 million worth of his shares. So if it doesn't happen, I'm guessing not that many people will be sad. And here's what else we're watching in tech. Big news Wednesday that the New York Stock Exchange will temporarily close its legendary trading floor. It is moving to all electronic trading starting March 23rd after someone in the stock exchange tested positive for the novel coronavirus. I actually sort of thought that we already did have all electronic trading, but we'll follow the tech on that next week. Okay, in other news, when you work from home, you need stuff, like monitors and charging cables and laptops. And the Wall Street Journal reports that demand has spiked. Some retailers are all out of computers, tablets, docking stations, and monitors. And even though that sounds like good news for makers of those products, supply chain problems mean they might not be able to fill all the new orders. As it happens, Apple announced a new laptop model and a new iPad Pro on Wednesday. The iPad Pro now supports a keyboard that includes a trackpad, but unclear if it's related to supply chain issues or not. That cool keyboard won't be available until May. And now it's time for my new favorite part of every day, work from home do's and don'ts. First, a tip. We're hearing that Zoom is apparently starting to have some hiccups during this time of extremely increased usage. Apparently, dialing the toll-free numbers can help. I don't know, worth a try. Also, CNN had kind of a cute roundup of people's clever setups. Apparently, you can use an ironing board as a standing desk, which is genius. And now for what you're doing and not doing. On Twitter, my friend and former colleague, Lindsay Turrentine, said, do make sure you're responding to messages in the correct Slack channel. I think we've all been there. Kristen May Chase says, do get a lock on the office door in case you're on a conference call and your kids come running in without pants on. I would add that's true for anyone in the house, really. Don't orient your camera in the video call so that your bed is visible. It makes people feel weird because we're at work. I know some folks are working from studios, but if at all possible, zoom in on your face or put up like a fun Zoom background instead. Don't eat cereal on camera during video conference calls. It's gross. And finally, say it with me now. Mute your mics if you're not talking. I'm going to keep saying it until everyone starts doing it. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.